Good morning. Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded you for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
I'll start again. Good morning. Today, as Tim said, we're continuing with our series based on the book by John Mark Comer, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. So far in this series, Tom has spoken to us about the problem of hurry. And last week, Tim began to speak to us about the solution. And if you've missed either or both of those talks, they are available on YouTube and you can catch up. So last week, Tim talked about how he has attached his new apple trees to some strong stakes so that they grow up straight and healthy. And he talked about how we need stakes to help us to grow up strong and healthy as well in our spiritual lives. And these are habits or disciplines or practices which keep us aligned with God and enable us to flourish and bear fruit. And over the remaining 4 weeks of this series, we're going to look at four of these habits or practices or disciplines. And today we're looking at solitude and silence. Now, it might feel a bit odd to be talking about a discipline of solitude when, to be honest, we are all totally fed up of lockdown and we are longing to be able to meet up with family and friends and sit down for a meal together and have a hug. But please bear with me on this. Solitude and silence, this spiritual discipline or this habit, this way of life, is not about loneliness or isolation, which many of us perhaps have been feeling over the last year. In fact, solitude and silence enables us to have deeper and richer relationships with other people, to be more present with them. Solitude and silence has been a practice of Christians throughout church history and has been identified as the most important spiritual discipline by many Christian teachers. And Jesus himself models this solitude and silence. In the reading we just had, in Luke 5, after Jesus has healed a man of leprosy and word has got around and crowds of people are coming to him for healing, we're told, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. As Tim said last week, this isn't about whether we are by nature activists, people who are busy all the time doing things, or whether by nature we are contemplatives. We are all followers of Jesus, and Jesus shows us how to be fully engaged with the world, actively demonstrating God's love and his kingdom, and at the same time, being in deep relationship with our Heavenly Father. And solitude and silence need to go together to act as that stake for us. We may have been on our own a lot over the last year, but even when we are alone, we have an infinite ability in the 21st century to keep ourselves entertained and distracted. Box sets on Netflix, movies on demand, 24-hour news, scrolling through Facebook or Instagram, the possibilities are endless. Richard Foster, in his book, Celebration of Discipline, suggests that we might be able to develop this this habit, this discipline of solitude and silence, by taking advantage of the little solitudes that fill our day. The moments in bed in the morning before the family get up, the time in rush hour traffic. That book was first published in 1980, so a little while ago now, and I was really struck when I was reading it by how easy it is for us to fill those little moments, those little solitudes now with our mobile phone that is our constant companion. I wonder how many of us pick up our phone from the bedside table the moment we wake up in the morning and check in on the news or check our notifications. Ronald Rollheiser says, we are distracting ourselves into spiritual oblivion. So how do we avoid spiritual oblivion? I think we desperately need time alone with God. Imagine that you have a favorite singer. You might not need to imagine that, you might have one. But you read everything that there is to know about this person. You turn up to every gig that they do. You hang around the stage door afterwards, tell them how wonderful they were, how much you like their music, ask them for a selfie. You know loads about them. You might even be said to worship them, but you don't know them. You don't have a relationship with them. For that, you would need to spend time with them. You would need two-way conversation to find out what was really on their heart and to share what was really on yours. It's possible, I think, for us to read the Bible, to read books about the Bible, to listen to sermons, to hear people talk about their relationship with Jesus, but not to really experience that relationship ourselves. And incredibly, the Bible tells us, and we know because of Jesus, that God, the creator of the whole universe, wants that relationship with us, wants that intimacy of relationship with us. In fact, Jesus died to make that possible. So if we desire a deeper relationship with God, if we want a deeper assurance of his love for us and his delight in us, a greater sense of him guiding our steps, we need to spend time with him. We need time without that external noise and distraction, without the TV, without our mobile phone, without the radio on, without constant interruptions, which I realize is really challenging if you have small children at home. But we also need to turn off that internal noise, that constant mental chatter that is inside our heads, the plans that we're making, the worries that we have, the replaying of conversations, thinking of all the things we wish we'd said. And that is harder than turning off the external noise, although that itself is hard enough. When I became a Christian, the church that I attended promoted the idea of a daily quiet time, a daily pattern of reading the Bible and prayer, and encouraged the use of Bible reading notes to support that. And that was really helpful, an encouragement to build helpful habits in my life. And we need to read God's word. We need to know what it says, because that's how he shows himself to us. That's how we find out about his character and his ways. But I realize that too often, my daily quiet time, when I have actually managed to keep up that good habit, has been a set of tasks to complete. A Bible passage to read, a reflection, somebody else's thoughts on it to read, a set of people to pray for maybe. And that's not silence. That's me working through yet another to-do list, if I'm not careful. Silence is coming to God, settling ourselves before him, and then shutting up. It's giving him the control, allowing him to set the agenda. And it's really difficult. Certainly it's really difficult for me. And quite scary, actually. We might think, well, what if God doesn't show up? You know, God might meet other people, but what if he doesn't show up for me? It puts us in a vulnerable position. But of course, we know, don't we, from our experience of human relationships, that our deepest and most important relationships are those in which we let our guard down, where we allow ourselves to become vulnerable. Do you desire a deeper relationship with God? Do you long to know his peace and his joy and his love more fully? I know I do. And I believe that time alone with God is essential for that. One of the most well-known verses in the Psalms is the verse, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. And we need to learn how to still ourselves. We've talked about solitude and silence being one of a number of habits or disciplines, and maybe it's a bit unfashionable to talk about disciplines, but we know, don't we, that many things in life need discipline. You know, if we want to run a marathon, we need the discipline to be able to train for it. If we want to get a qualification or learn to speak another language, we need the discipline to study. We understand that discipline is required to reach particular goals. And the goal of silence and solitude is to deepen our relationship with God. And in doing that, to be transformed into the best versions of ourselves. But that word discipline also suggests that this is going to require effort. It's not an easy ride. In some ways, silence and solitude sounds really easy, doesn't it? All we need to do is spend a bit of time alone in silence. How hard can that be? But it really is hard. It requires effort to make the time to start with. We need to plan it. It's not just going to happen. When we do make that time, we get distracted, inevitably. It might be that you find it helpful to have a bit of paper or notebook next to you so that you can write things down if you get distracted, so you know you can come back to them later. You won't forget them, but you don't need to deal with them now. When we do slow down, we might realize how incredibly tired we are. On several occasions recently, I found myself nodding off during periods of silence and solitude, and I think it's important that we don't beat ourselves up about that. Part of what we gain in silence and solitude is actually a greater understanding of ourselves, of where we are at. And in a very basic way, we might learn that we're too tired, that we need to slow down and get a bit more rest. I think we also need to avoid the temptation to get to the end of a period of silence and solitude and give it a mark out of 10. You know, how did we do? Did God show up? We simply need to allow God to do what he will and to trust him. Sometimes we might feel really close to him in that time. Sometimes we might feel nothing at all. The point of doing this isn't to have an amazing 5 minutes, 15 minutes, hour. It is to open ourselves up to the Father's love and to learn to love him more. That the fruit that we're after isn't some kind of 15-minute hit. It's a lifetime of relationship with him. And we will also have to deal with that nagging sense, at least at times, that we're wasting our time. We could be doing something more productive. And perhaps the opinion of other people that we're wasting our time. What are you bothering with that for? We need to remember that Jesus, despite everything that he packed into that 3 years of ministry, made time regularly to be alone with his Father. Jesus often went to lonely places and prayed. And if it was important enough for him, then it certainly is for us. I've said that already, that silence and solitude allows us to see ourselves better, more clearly. That's one of the benefits of it. The noise and the busyness of our lives can be a great distraction from the stuff that's going on inside us. So when we do quieten ourselves, we might find actually that we experience some quite difficult emotions: anger, disappointment, sorrow. Over the last few weeks, as I've been preparing for this, I've been trying to more intentionally incorporate silence and solitude into my schedule. And on one occasion, quite early on, I actually spent most of the time in tears, which I realise is not a great advert for this. But I think there were a couple of things going on there. One of those was that actually I was carrying quite a lot of grief and hurt inside me. And I'd felt that I was doing okay with that. Busyness and activity can be a really great distractor, can't it? And that definitely has its place. There's value in that at times. But when I stopped, I realized that actually there was what felt like this really deep well of sadness in the middle of me. And the busyness of my life had sort of put a lid on that and stopped me falling into it. But actually the well was still there. And in that silence, I became really aware of that. And that recognition of where we are is a really important step in healing and growing. As we recognize these things, we can bring them to God and ask him to come into those raw places in our lives and bring healing and grace. But going through the process isn't always very comfortable. The second part, though, I think, of what went on during that particular occasion was that I also had some quite negative thoughts about myself, things that I felt I'd done badly and, ways in which I felt that I'd failed. And I think we also need to recognize the reality that we are in a spiritual battle. And if time alone with God is something which allows us to grow and flourish, then actually Satan will want to stop us engaging in that if he can. In the first week, Tom gave us that quote from Corrie ten Boom: if Satan can't make us sin, he'll make us busy. And maybe when we do stop, when we do try to fight against the busyness and stop, Satan will try and get in there if he can. Those thoughts of failure and worthlessness weren't God's opinion of me. The Bible says that Satan's the father of lies, doesn't it? And he'll try and make us listen to his lies if he can. So the reality that we are in a spiritual battle, it makes this hard as well. I want to finish by looking at a verse in that psalm that Tim read at the beginning of the service. So Psalm 131, verse 2. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. This is a really powerful picture, I think. It's one that I've thought about much more recently and has struck me. And in silence and solitude, we come to God like a weaned child with its mother. Too often, perhaps, we come to God actually as a hungry newborn, looking for instant answers to our most pressing needs. But this psalm talks of a weaned child who lies content to simply be in his mother's presence, at peace, not rooting around for what his mother can provide, but simply experiencing her closeness and her love. As we come to God in silence and solitude, we learn to trust that he loves us as we are, not as a result of what we do. And we learn to love him for who he is, not for what he can do for us. We begin to start to understand that he is enough. That long list of needs and desires that we have is not ultimately as important as our need for him himself. We learn, or begin to learn, contentment. And in that contentment, we can lay aside the striving, which is at the root of so much of our hurry. So I would really encourage you to schedule in some time with God in silence and solitude. And there's not, I don't think there's a, you know, a right way to do this, a formula to follow. But if you're anything like me, I tend to sort of think, well, okay, that's all very well and good. And I understand that it's important to spend time with God, but how do I actually do that? So if you haven't done this before, just start small. Even 10 minutes of silence can feel really, really difficult. So maybe try to find 3 10-minute slots in the next week. Find a place where you can be silent, a room in your house, a time before the kids are up or after they've gone to bed. Maybe go outdoors for a walk on your own. Take a few deep breaths. Just slow yourself down. And maybe say a short phrase to yourself just to help you focus. I am here, Lord, or come, Lord Jesus, or a short Bible verse. And just repeat that a few times just to sort of calm yourself down and slow down, focus. And then stop and allow God to take the lead. You might find it helpful to jot down anything you feel God brought to your mind. You might not. It's not a kind of essential, but some people find it very helpful. And then resist that temptation to kind of mark yourself out of 10 at the end of the 10 minutes. You know, resist that temptation to think, oh, I'm no good at this. Longer periods of solitude and silence can be really helpful. And next week we're going to be looking at Sabbath, which maybe we'll touch on that on a weekly pattern of maybe a longer period. Maybe at some point when it's allowed again, a day's retreat somewhere would be helpful for you. But let's make a start this week and see what God will do. Should we just pray? Father, forgive us when we rush around in our busyness, missing out on the chance to spend time in your presence. Father, thank you that you love and delight in us, that we are your beloved children. Help us to learn to be still and know that you are God. In the quietness now, we open our hearts to you, knowing ourselves to be safe in your hands. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.